Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
Earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. And we've learned that that's not, when he says, when I'm lifted up from the earth, he's not talking about the resurrection. He's talking about being lifted up from the earth on the cross. And so the Lord's been telling us to make much of the cross, right? And by the way, JC made the, did I still have it on there? Where'd it go? I was like all dancing, it's like all twisted up. But JC made these little crosses out of paper clips with a little thing to hand out to people to make much of the cross. And so that's what we've been talking about. Because Jesus said, if the cross is central, that he would draw all peoples to himself, right? And so there's an anointing that's being released right now of evangelism. Yes. All right, this is what's happening. All right, and I want you to receive this because this is a real anointing where the Lord is releasing an anointing on you to attract people. It's an anointing of influence. All right, and so you're going to find that people are going to want to listen to what you have to say. All right, so I want you to receive that, okay? Yes. Not everybody is called to the office of evangelist. But all of us are called to evangelize. All right, and that's the Great Commission, right? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Someone say, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Well, if this is what we're commissioned to do, we needed to find out, well, what is the gospel? You know, what is it that we're called to preach? And we looked at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, where the Apostle Paul says that I wanted to remind you of the gospel I preached to you and you received it and on which you have taken your stand. Everyone say, take a stand. Amen. Yeah, so the Lord's been encouraging us and he's telling us through the Apostle Paul, I want to remind you of the importance of the gospel in this hour. And he says, and I need you and I'm telling you to take a stand for it. All right, and the reason being is because the gospel's been watered down. In many ways, it's been forgotten about. That's why Paul says, I want to remind you of it. Amen. It's the gospel that saves. This is what he goes on to say in verse 2. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to it. The other thing that the Lord was telling us is hold firmly to the gospel. Don't hang on to it loosely like it doesn't matter. Hold on to it tightly because it saves you and it saves those you share it with. He says, otherwise you have believed in vain. Verse 3, Paul says, what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. So the Apostle Paul is saying the most important thing that I passed on to you was the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I mean, how many know that's true? And then he goes on to tell us what that gospel is in verse 3. He says that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So this is the gospel message. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. That's the gospel message that we're commissioned to preach. Amen? And so last week, we spent the whole service making it very, very, very clear that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Yeah, this truth cannot be watered down. It can't be compromised. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread of life in John 6:35. He said, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. He says, I'm the door of the sheep in John 10:9. He said, I am the good shepherd in John 10:11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life in John 11:25. And then in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Amen. Yeah, there's no other way to get to heaven except through him. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. So as we're moving in and doing what God is calling us to do, we need to make sure that we don't waver from that message. Because there's a deception out there and there's a spirituality out there that's saying, you know, all roads lead to heaven. And they're saying things like this. Yeah, Jesus is a possible way to heaven, but he's not the only way. And the Lord says, I need you to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ because it has the power to save. Amen. And so Jesus said in John 8:24, the second part of it, he says, unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you'll die in your sins. Unless you say that I am God incarnate, unless you say that I am God in human form, unless you say that I am the only one, the only way to heaven, he says, unless you say, unless you believe what I claim to be, you'll die in your sins. And so the Lord is saying, I need you to take a stand, and I need you to have a voice. Amen. I need you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. And no man can come to the Father except through him. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved right now today. Right now. Yeah. This is the gospel message, church. This is the gospel message. Jesus says, man, I stand at the door and knock. Any man that comes into me and lets me in, I'll eat with him. He's standing at the door of every human heart right now by his spirit. And the handle to that door is on the inside. So he's not going to bust down the door. He's knocking. He's knocking. And I'm telling you, when the message of the gospel comes out of your mouth, it has the power to save. Even when it comes out that we're saying this, man, I confess you, Lord. I confess you as the Son of God. I confess you as my Lord. I confess that, Lord, you have died for my sins, and I welcome you into my heart. You doing that saves you. It secures your eternal destiny. And so listen, if you're here this morning and you haven't gone to the door of your heart and opened up your heart to the message of the gospel and the life that Jesus has to offer you to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and give you a brand new start, if you haven't done it, I urge you to do that today. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yeah? So the Lord says, I need you to go preach that. I need you to go tell people about this. I need you to make a stand. The Lord says, it's not enough to just be quiet. Because when there's conversations around that are saying that all roads lead to heaven and all religions lead to heaven, and if you don't say anything, your silence is agreeing with them. And so it takes a boldness, doesn't it? I mean, it's not always easy to be an outspoken Christian. Come on, how many of you know that's true? And I'll tell you why, because there's resistance. There's resistance. You're going to run into resistance when you're going to tell people about Jesus. You're going to have spiritual resistance from all the demonic principalities and powers in the air that are trying to stop that message from going out. Yeah, there's going to be some things that are going to cause you to kind of stand back and button up. And the Lord said, I need you to stand up and speak out. Amen. Amen. But how do we do this? How do we get the boldness? Where do we get the boldness to be able to do this? And this is what the Lord is telling us, and this is where we're going on today. We need to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, there is a boldness that comes upon us when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to be filled afresh. Everyone say, filled afresh. Let me tell you why. Because the level of the Spirit in a believer's life can fade away. It can dry up, leaving you empty inside. And so we need to learn, how do we go and get ourselves filled up with the Holy Spirit so that we're full all the time? Because that's what we need, church. That's what we need, amen? And that's what we're about today. So look at Acts chapter 4 with me. And listen, while you're doing that, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for your refilling. Yeah, now do this. Throw your hands up to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. Yeah, he wants to. So listen, in Acts chapter 4, now we're going to get there in a minute, but let me just share a little bit of what's going on here so you know what's happening, okay? In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they were on their way to the temple to pray, and they came across this lame beggar. This man had never walked before. He was over 40 years old, so you can imagine what his legs would look like, right, having never walked. And so Peter and John were walking by, and this man, this lame beggar, he's begging for alms. And Peter looked at this man, and he goes, I don't have any silver, and I don't have any gold. But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he stretched out his hand, and the power of God shot from heaven through Peter's body, through his arms, into this man's hands, down into his legs, and all of a sudden, man, muscles and tendons and a coordination that went from his legs to his brain back to his legs caused some miraculous thing to happen, and Peter yanked this guy to his feet. And it says that he went walking and leaping and praising God. Yeah. Well, listen, this guy went walking and leaping and praising God with Peter and John right into the temple. And that created quite a stir because you could imagine probably hundreds of people over the course of 40 years passed by this guy every day when they went into the temple. So he followed Peter and John into the temple, and man, it made no small stir. So whenever there was a stirring about Jesus, the religious leaders would try to shut it down. A lot like today. So God, through a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, granted the early apostles a boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's this boldness of the Holy Spirit that the Lord wants to give us today. Amen. This is what he desires to do. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Come on, how many are ready for this today? Yeah. Come on, shoot your hands up. Say, fill me up, Lord. Yeah, fill me up. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. How many of you can see that's the gospel right there? They're preaching the gospel right here. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody. So now they are arrested for preaching the gospel. Last week I shared with you that if you are going to follow Jesus, persecution will follow you. There's going to be tension, but that can't stop us. I shared with you last week also that it's estimated that 6 million believers were persecuted and killed for their faith in the early church. And I shared with you that that proved to be a problem for Satan because the blood of the saints became the seed of the church. And in that persecution, the church multiplied exponentially, right? And so we can't allow the pressure, we can't allow persecution, we can't allow anything to stop us from sharing the gospel. And so here they are. It says they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Verse 4, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Come on. Listen, the gospel message coming out of your mouth has the power to save. Yeah. And this is what the Lord is saying. We got to get the gospel out. We got to get the gospel out. We can't be tongue-tied and we can't be afraid. Look at verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Verse 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pause right there because this is what we're talking about. Then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. This is interesting because we're in Acts chapter 4 right now. All right, in Acts chapter 2 is when the 120 were in the upper room and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember this? These verses aren't on the screen, but I'll quote them. In Acts chapter 1, it says that Jesus, in his resurrected form, he met with his disciples and he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Talking about the Holy Spirit, right? And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the remotest parts of the earth. He said, John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in one place, and there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind that came in, filled the whole house where they were sitting. Tongues of fire came down, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That happened. That happened. Here in Acts chapter 4, it says, then Peter filled with the Spirit. This is the situation, is that some people think that because Peter was baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, that would mean that he would be Spirit-filled the rest of his life, and that's not the way it works. How many of you know that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today and not full tomorrow? This is what we're talking about. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning and not be full this afternoon. And this is what the Lord is talking to us about. He's saying that, man, we need to be continually filling ourselves up with the Holy Spirit so that we can be full all the time, so that we're not running on empty, all right? And so the Lord is saying, man, the level of the Spirit of God in a believer's life, it can fade away. It can evaporate. How many of you had that happen, by the way? Yeah. And so the Lord is encouraging us. This is what today's about. It's about identifying your filling stations. Where do you go to fill yourself up? And we have to identify those filling stations. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." How many of you can see that's the gospel? He's preaching the gospel right there in custody. And listen, you got to understand how intense this is. These are the same people that crucified Jesus. And now they're coming after the apostles, and there's a boldness that is happening in their life. He goes on to say, "By him, Jesus, this man stands here before you whole." Verse 11, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." He goes on to say, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must be saved." Peter's bold. He's bold. He's preaching the gospel. He's telling them 2,000 years ago what Jesus is telling us to tell the people today. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. All religions don't lead to heaven. And if we dismiss that and we water that down, it's an insult to God, because the price that Jesus paid for your redemption was too heavy to just dismiss and say, well, maybe Jesus is the way, but there's other ways too, and that's a lie. It's a dangerous and subtle lie. It's a doctrine of demons. And the Lord said, we got to speak on that. We got to speak up on that. Listen, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit will give you the boldness to say things that you would otherwise not have the confidence to say. And this doesn't mean that we need to be rude. You know, when we're sharing the gospel, we're not to be rude. We're not to be rash, right? We're not to be coarse. You know, everything that we share has to be seasoned with love. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit will give us the boldness to speak the truth clearly in love, in love. The fruits of the Spirit will be manifest. Amen. Look at verse 13. "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them," this caught my attention, because where are they? They're in a persecution chamber. All right, so when Peter and John found this lame beggar and, you know, grabbed his hand and said, "Silver and gold have I none. What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." When the power of God hit that man's legs, man, he went walking and leaping and praising God, and he was standing with them in the temple. He was standing with them in the temple. How many of you know it's different to stand with somebody in church than to stand with somebody who's about to be killed? So this lame beggar is standing with Peter and John in custody, in a persecution chamber where their life might be in danger for doing what? For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Spirit of God gave them a boldness. He says that they had seen, the man who had been healed was standing with him, and they could say nothing against it. Verse 15, "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them, and it's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name.'" So listen, let us severely threaten them. Listen, I want to tell you, taking a stand for Jesus, the devil's always going to come and try to threaten you and shut you down. And you need to expect it. And listen, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, it won't bother you so much. it'll actually ignite a fire inside of you. Say, man, I'm gonna go even harder after this. Amen? But if we're not full of the Holy Spirit, we'll cower back. We'll cower back. And so we need to know that this kind of stuff happens. Look at verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. This was a command. This was not a suggestion. But look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Look at verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This is powerful. Saying, you're commanding us that we can't speak of the name of Jesus. He goes, you know, whether it's right to listen to you or God, you judge. But I'm telling you, we cannot but speak of the things we've seen and heard. We can't help it. So listen, if you ever find yourself, you know, having a difficult time telling people about Jesus, it's quite possible it's because you haven't seen or heard much from him lately. Yeah. Listen, if I'm not seeing or hearing from the Lord personally, I'm not going to speak as often, as confidently, or as boldly than other times. Isn't that right? So my teaching, my preaching, my witness, all of these things, man, it's a reflection, it's an overflow of what I am personally seeing and hearing from the Lord in my personal life. So if I'm not seeing or hearing from him, I really don't have much to say. Come on, are you hearing this? So part of remaining full of the Holy Spirit requires me to position myself to sit under the teaching of the word. All right? We're talking about how do we remain full. We have to sit under the teaching of the word. I have to take myself to the filling station and allow myself to be poured into. Do you hear me? And preferably, I need to do this before I'm on a quarter tank or running on empty. Amen? Are you hearing this? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, identify your filling station. Yes, so listen, let me ask you, how full, and you don't have to answer this out loud, but this is something that we should do on a normal basis. How full is your spiritual tank? Now, are you running on 3/4 of a tank? You know, a half a tank? You know, are you at a quarter of a tank? Are you running on fumes? You know, how full is your spiritual tank? You know, in my car, you know, I top my gas tank off regularly. I just like to top it off. You know, I do. And it seems like it saves me. It probably doesn't save me money, but it seems like it does. You know, it's at a half tank or something, man, I'll just pull in. I'll just top that thing off. If I let that tank get down to like a quarter of a tank or below, it's like $10, $20, $30, $40, $50. It takes longer to fill it up and it seems more expensive. Come on, is that right? And so I'm like always topping it off, man. I'm pulling in. You got half a tank. I know. It's like, man, I'm going to put $20 in this thing, man. We're down the road. You know, it seems like it's less expensive. It seems like it's saving me money. Maybe it's not, but it's what I do. And so listen, I'm not here to give you a lesson on how to fill up your gas tank. We're talking about being full. We're talking about being spiritually full, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so this is my point. Spiritually speaking, if I wait until my spiritual tank is at a quarter tank or empty, man, it may take a little longer for me to get filled up. It may take a little more effort. It may cost me some time. Now listen, I guarantee you, the Lord will fill you with his Holy Spirit to overflowing. I guarantee you he will. But you have to pull into your filling stations. You have to do it. And I have to do it. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, take me to the nearest filling station. Now shoot up your hands and say, fill me up, Lord. Yeah. We need to identify your filling station. So listen, in today's world, with all the technology and all the smartphones and all the resources, man, I'm telling you, we have access to so many filling stations. Come on, are you hearing me? Listen to me, church. This is not hard to do. It's just a matter of recognizing what is the Lord asking of us? What does he want to give us? He wants to resource us. Listen, we have the Word of God readily accessible with the click of a button. Right? Then I can top off my spiritual tank all day long with all the stuff that's out there for us to be able to tap into. Isn't that right? So we need to identify our filling stations, because the level of the Spirit in a believer's life can fade away. You know, you can be running on empty. So I have to pull into my filling stations frequently. And so I want to tell you some of my filling stations. All right? One of my filling stations, one of my go-tos, is Jerry Dierman. I listen to Jerry Dierman's teachings. I've been listening to him for years. I listen to him every week. And those of you that are in OSL, you're listening to 3 faith builders a week from Jerry Dierman. So this is what's going on with you in OSL. Your tank is full, I'm certain. If you're doing your assignments, you come to church on Sunday, you get the preaching of the word. You come back at 11, man, you get another teaching from me, a whole hour. And then all week long, you have 3 faith builders from Jerry Dierman. Man, you're just getting poured into and poured into. You're doing your Bible reading. You're trying to memorize verses. Man, your tank is full. Amen. How many graduates we have? I think we have 12 graduating from OSL 5 today. So listen, can we give them a thank you? Yeah, congratulations, all of you. Yeah, but your tank is full. You know, so my filling station is Jerry Dierman. I listen to him every week, sometimes twice, because sometimes you got to listen to the message twice. Listen, I also listen to Jerry Dierman. He has this thing, comes out every single day. It's called the New Testament Daily. He reads a chapter of the New Testament every day, and he gives some key insights with every chapter, and it follows our reading plan, or we follow his reading plan, the Solid Lives reading plan. So that's something I do every day, and sometimes I'll do it a couple times a day. And listen, that is after I've already read it, or else I'll read it with him. You know, it's a filling station, right? It's a filling station. Another filling station that I frequent is Stephen Furtick. I listen to his stuff every week, and he's got a lot out there. He's got these little one-minute talks. He's got all of these different things. He is a filling station that I frequent regularly. Listen, I'm telling you, this is all week long. Another one of my filling stations is Greg Laurie. You know, Greg Laurie is my, usually before I get out of bed, filling station. Because every single day at 4:00 in the morning, I get a devotional from him. Yeah, and I read it. I'll read it in the morning, man, and then while I'm taking a shower, I'm meditating on what I read. Listen, this is a 4:00, 5:00 in the morning filling station every single day. Every single day. And then we have our reading plan, right? Yeah, the Lord's saying, identify your filling stations. Listen, I heard about this other guy. He's about this tall, right here. But let me tell you about this guy named Vic. Listen, he has a team that is diligent to put out the word on YouTube, podcast, and live stream every single week. So you have access. And I want to give it up for Kim Sharkey. Come on, I want to give it up for Kim Sharkey, Kayla Oselka, Heather Sadler, Sharon Lane, and Roger Sharkey. Come on, let's give it up for them. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, man, I'm telling you what. The Lord is feeding us, amen? So listen, why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because the level of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life can slip away. You can dry up. And the Lord is saying, man, it's too important right now. It's too important right now to be running on empty, because lives are at stake. Amen? Their eternities are at stake. So listen, let me ask you this. How can you know if this is happening to you? How can you know if you're getting low on Holy Spirit fullness? How do you know when your tank is getting low with the Holy Spirit? These are some things. Man, when you start thinking carnal thoughts, man, that's a trigger. You know it. When you start thinking lustful thoughts, that's when you know, oh, my tank's getting low. You know, when you start thinking that you want to find a counterfeit to get you through the day, that's when you know, my tank's getting low. You know, another way is that when worry begins to take over your faith, you find yourself, you know, being worried more than you're walking in faith. Another area when you know that your tank is getting low is that you start getting a bad attitude. A bad attitude. A bad attitude. And you'll know it. You know, you're irritable. You're impatient. You know, we live in an irritable society, church. You know, if you don't believe it, listen, I'll tell you what to do. When you leave church here today, when you get to a stoplight and the light turns green, listen, just count to three. 1,000, 2,000. You know, they flip you the bird. They do all kinds of stuff. Listen, how many know that we as Christians can't be like that? So you know that the Spirit of God in you is getting low. Man, when you're ready to get, like, man, you want some of this? You know that, man, I got to do something to get filled up again. Amen? This is true. Another reason that you would know that your tank is getting low is when your hope begins to fade and when your joy begins to weaken. So listen, how do we know when we're full of the Holy Spirit? How do you know that? You know, it means that the Holy Spirit is not only in your spirit full, but you recognize that, man, I have Holy Spirit thoughts. Yeah, my emotions are Holy Spirit emotions. Man, I'm gentle, I'm kind, I'm patient, right? When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you know that these things are happening. Listen, you begin to see through Holy Spirit vision. So being full of the Holy Spirit, it goes in every area of your life, how you're thinking, how you're feeling, how you're seeing, how you're responding, how you're talking, what you're doing in your spare time, on time off. Yeah, these are all these things. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're overflowing with the confidence of the Holy Spirit, with the love of the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, fill her up. Yeah. All right, now look at this. Back to Acts chapter 4. Look at this, verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, listen, the adversary is always going to try to threaten you to get you to stop telling people about Jesus. There's going to be a threat. It's an adversary that's going to come up and try to intimidate you and threaten you. Don't do it. Don't do it. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, this won't slow you down. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. They went to their own companions. So another way to stay full of the Holy Spirit is you got to stay connected to the local church. You keep yourself full of the Word of God, and you stay connected to the local church. And listen, I want to tell you, LWC is a great filling station. No, I'm telling you, it is. It's a great filling station. Listen, you running low on love? You feeling a love deficit? Come on, I'm telling you what, man. You just come on in here. We hand out love abundantly every week. Isn't that right? And it's free. You're running low on worship. You need a new song in your heart. Come on, I'm telling you what. You come into, there is nothing like coming into a place like this where you are ministering to the Lord in worship under the same roof together. There's nothing like it. It fills you up. It fills you up, doesn't it? You're running low on purpose. You know, you need something to do that kind of takes you into a realm that, man, this is important. Man, there are ways for you to get involved here. There's ways that you can serve in this church and ways you can serve the community. All right, this is a place where you can get filled up. It's a great filling station. Listen, are you running low on the word? You need something, you need a jump start to get you, you know, into the next week or through the next week? Man, I want to tell you, church, the word of the Lord is carefully selected every week. And the word of the Lord is personally prepared with you in mind. And then the word of the Lord is prayed over and hand delivered to you every single week. And it's free. I'm telling you, LDBC is a good filling station. And listen, I want to say this too. I want to encourage all of you. Those of you online, I want to encourage all of you, if you are physically able, make it a priority to attend LWC at least 3 times a month. I mean, if you have to work, I get it. But if you're physically able, make it a point. It's important. It's important. And listen, let me say this. If you're not physically able, you know, if you're at home and you're unable to make it, or if you're sick, something comes upon you and you can't make it, and you're finding out that, man, I might be out for a little bit. Listen, will you call me or one of my team? Listen, we will come to your house. We will visit you. We'll pray for you. We'll serve you communion. We'll come where you are. We will do that for you. And we'll be happy to do it. But I want to encourage you, if you're physically able, man, start making it a priority to come underneath the same roof and begin to see what the Lord wants to do to fill you up. Amen? Amen. Come on, it's important for us. Amen. Look at back to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Switch it over to the New Living Translation. Look at this. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers, the last translation said to their companions, and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Verse 24, when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, something's about to shake up. Yeah. They're being persecuted. Their life's being threatened. They're going through all this thing. You know, they let him go. And the first thing they did, they went to church. They went to their companions. And it says, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God, saying, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. Verse 25, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Verse 28, but everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. Now watch this. Watch this. The apostles pray for boldness right now to speak the word. That's what we're asking for, right? We need a boldness to be able to speak your word, to preach the gospel. Verse 29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Listen, can you pray this with me right now? Yes. Listen, let me lead you. Say, now, Lord. Now, say, now, Lord. Now. Give us your servants at LWC, great boldness in preaching your word. Lord, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done. Through the name of your holy servant. Let it be done, Lord. This is our prayer. All right, now check it out now. Look at verse 31. After this, everyone say after this. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at after this. After this. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute. I thought they were all filled in Acts chapter 2. That's what we're talking about. This is a refilling. This is a refilling. They've gone through some stuff. They've had some resistance. They've gone through some custody stuff. You know, great miraculous things happen. This man gets healed, brings persecution. They're in custody. They're trying to shut him down. They're severely threatening them, saying, don't you ever speak in the name of Jesus again. Remembering what happened to Jesus, all of this stuff is going on. And listen, they went back to their companions. They told them what was going on. They prayed after they prayed. After they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a fresh infilling. Cohen, how many of you need a fresh infilling? Listen, I'm telling you, some of you are going to need a fresh infilling before 12 o'clock today. You might step out of this church and all hell comes loose against you. And you're going to need to know what to do. And I got to get in the Word. I got to get the Word poured into me. I got to go to a filling station to get my faith, you know, pumped up again. Amen? You may need to call some of your companions, say, pray for me. Pray for me. Come on, I'm telling you, church, the Lord is building a strong community of believers here, and we need each other. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at this. After this prayer, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then, everyone say then. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Listen, after they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, then what happened? They all preached the word of God with boldness. Are you seeing it? They preached the word of God with boldness. After they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then they preached the word of God with boldness. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, we need a fresh infilling. Listen, if we don't stay full of the Holy Spirit, church, I'll say me. If I don't stay full of the Holy Spirit, I won't speak as I ought to speak. Yeah? I won't speak as often as I want to speak. I won't speak as boldly or as confidently as I want to speak. If I don't stay full of the Holy Spirit, man, you're going to have a pastor behind this pulpit that's just going to tell you some stories, make you feel good, without doing something to challenge and transform the way we think. Amen? Listen, this is why I'm constantly going to my own filling stations. I need my thought process challenged for the things of the kingdom because there is a natural gravitational pull for me to be fleshly. And it's in every single one of you. Until Jesus comes back, there is this thing inside of each of us. There's this gravitational pull that wants to pull us down to think earthly thoughts. The Lord says, man, I need you to have the mind of Christ. So I'm constantly going to the filling station, listen, to allow my own thought press to be challenged. I need my thought processes to be challenged. So I'm thinking kingdom thoughts and kingdom ways and kingdom values. Amen? Because if I don't, man, I'll just naturally just drift around and say, ah, you know, whatever. Tomorrow we die, and we're not thinking about anybody else's eternity. We're living for the day for ourselves. Listen, this is the way we are. And the thing is, the Lord knows it. He understands. You know, he's not condemning you for being that way. He's just giving you tools. He said, listen, I want you to identify your filling stations, and I want you to frequent your filling stations often because you're the only one that can pull into that. Amen? You're the only one. And listen, this is for all of us, church. I have to do the same thing. You know, I have to. And when I identify that I got some carnal thoughts and I got some batitudes, it happens. When I recognize that, man, I gotta tap in. I gotta pull into one of my filling stations and get filled up again. And listen, I'm telling you, this is just today's message. I have more. I have more tools that we'll give you. We'll get to some of that next week. All right. I want to let you know that right now, as of plan, I want to make it really clear that we have Harry Holkamp coming. I got a bad attitude right now. But listen, Harry Holkamp is coming. But listen, he won't take the whole service, okay? Because I want to bring the word. Amen. We do want to give him an opportunity if he's ready to show us, you know, the whole homeless shelter in Michigan City has been rebranded. There's a new name. And I want to give him opportunity to share that. It's really, really good. All right, and plus he's one of the partners. He's, you know, we have global missions. Pastor Jim talked about giving a lot, but we also have local missions. And one of our partners in this is with Harry Holkamp and the homeless shelter here. So anyway, I want to let you know that we're going to, as long as he's ready to share that, we'll have him. But we're going to get into the Word next week, okay? We're going to get in the Word next week. Listen, can you stand to your feet with me? Listen, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to have us pray this prayer again that we just prayed from Acts chapter 4. We're going to pray that again. All right? And then when we say amen, listen, can you give the Lord like 30 seconds of your praise? You can shout, you can clap, but just lift up your hands and lift up your voices and give him like 30 seconds of praise after we do this, okay? All right? Listen, we're praying for boldness to stand up for Jesus. And if you can't get loud in a safe environment like this, it's going to be difficult for you to be having a voice in a different situation, a different environment. Amen? Listen, the Lord's going to fill you up this morning. How many of you feel full already? Yeah, you're getting something, right? All right, yeah, so stretch out your hands, would you? And say, now, Lord, give us your servants at LWC, great boldness to preach your word. Stretch out your hand, Lord, with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now come on, 30 seconds of praise. 30 seconds of praise. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. We worship you, Lord. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, keep it going, church. Hallelujah. With 1,000 hallelujahs. With 1,000 hallelujahs, we magnify your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. There's the wave. There's the wave. There's the wave. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can feel it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, there's another wave coming. Come on, there it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Come on, church. Listen, the Lord. There we go again. There we go. It's all right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, the Lord wants a spirit-filled people and a spirit-filled church taking our city back. Amen? Listen, some of you are going to go home this afternoon, and you're going to turn on a football game. And if your team scores, you're going to get loud. How many of you know that Jesus won the victory all the way around? Come on, give them that kind of shout. Yeah. 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 He conquered death for you. Hallelujah. Did you have something, Patricia? You good? You just praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, amen. So listen, I want to encourage you next week. Grab your family, your friends, your neighbor's dog. I don't care. Bring them in. We'll get our dogs filled, too. Listen, we love you a whole bunch. God bless you. So listen, I want to encourage you next week. Grab your family, your friends, your neighbor's dog. I don't care. Bring them in. We'll get our dogs filled, too. Listen, we love you a whole bunch. God bless you. So listen, I want to encourage you next week. Grab your family, your friends, your neighbor's dog. I don't care. Bring them in. We'll get our dogs filled too. Listen, we love you a whole bunch. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.